From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. On Capitol Hill, what might be called Rumsfeld fatigue means that his heir apparent, Robert Gates, is almost guaranteed Senate confirmation as the next Secretary of Defense. The Senate Armed Services Committee is scheduled to question Gates for either 1 or 2 days, and the committee won't be calling any other witnesses. We asked NPR's Guy Raz to find out more about Robert Gates, who he is, and what makes him tick.
Here's the strange thing about Robert Gates. One of his favorite movies ever is Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Well, naturally something happens. I mean, you put the vibe out to 30 million chicks, something is going to happen.
That's the idea, Raz. That's the attitude.
He liked grade B movies.
And as Mel Goodman remembers it, Gates used to go to them by himself. Goodman's known Robert Gates for 40 years, since they were both junior analysts at the CIA's Soviet desk. When Gates joined CIA in 1968, Goodman recalls him as an earnest and somewhat green young man.
I remember telling people, you know, I just met our future boss, because I've never met anyone so ambitious in all my life.
Now, back in those days, the late 1960s and early 70s, the CIA's Directorate of Intelligence, where Gates and Mel Goodman worked, was a pretty laid-back place.
I think we were all anti-Nixon, including Bob.
Including Bob, the future CIA director and the future poster boy for the Republican establishment. But at the CIA, at least back then, Robert Gates was regarded as a lefty, a CIA agent, but an anti-war protester as well. And when Judy Collins sang on the National Mall on May 9, 1970, Robert Gates was there, protesting against the war in Vietnam. Gates' politics fit in with the crowd at the CIA's Soviet desk, but not his temperament.
If he couldn't really be good in something, he wasn't going to waste his time with it. He was a perfectionist in some ways.
A perfectionist in pursuit of approval, says Mel Goodman, so much so that he became something of a yes man. And that's how Robert Gates' former deputy at CIA, Hal Ford, remembers him as well. That Gates would basically tell his superiors,
"You tell me what you want, and that's what you'll get."
Which is what happened in 1985, when Gates, under orders from CIA Chief William Casey, exaggerated intelligence to show that the Soviets were involved in the assassination attempt against Pope John Paul II, which they weren't. Mel Goodman got a hold of that report. He knew it wasn't true, so he confronted Gates.
And it led to a rather acrimonious exchange, and I told him, "You have no integrity." He blew up at that.
Which, to say the least, put a strain on their relationship. Now, 2 years later, in 1987, Gates was nominated to head CIA. But he withdrew his nomination after it became clear the Senate wouldn't confirm him. Gates had too ambiguous a role in the Iran-Contra scandal. But he got a second chance. In 1991, President George Herbert Walker Bush nominated him again. The hearings were scheduled to last 3 days, but they dragged on for 3 weeks, as old friends and comrades came out of the woodwork to voluntarily testify against Robert Gates.
What is the signal that his nomination sends to the troops?
Many will share my view that Bob Gates has often ignored or scorned the views of others whose assessments did not accord with his own.
What I think is most offensive is that Casey and Gates arrogated to themselves the power to make intelligence judgments.
In his book, Gates describes how painful it was to see so many old friends and colleagues such as Tom Polgar, Hal Ford, and Mel Goodman, who we just heard from, oppose his nomination to run the CIA. Gates was confirmed nonetheless, but one-third of the Senate voted against him. John Headley, a former colleague who's still friendly with Gates, thinks the opposition from colleagues was simple professional jealousy.
He had a rather meteoric rise at the agency, and I think people were sort of surprised at some of the levels he reached so rapidly. But he's always been able to do whatever job he was in.
Which, for now, is apparently good enough for the U.S. Senate in its current anybody-but-Rumsfeld mood. Guy Raz, NPR News, Washington.